Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Besant Resources. Welcome, Colin.
Hello there. How are you doing? Nice to speak to you both again, and doing well, fine. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. We can just see that beautiful view in Cape Town, Colin. It's amazing, eh?
I know. It's like this miserable day. Anyway, it's not miserable, but it's just cold. And then you look out over Colin's shoulder and you see this beautiful blue sky. So the Hope and Gorah project update in Namibia, Colin, do you want to tell us how significant this was and about your very productive site meeting?
Productive is the answer. And of course, you know, COVID-19 movements have been restricted in and out, and taking views on projects from afar, just superficial visits. And of course, well, not of course, but this visit, I was able to really get into Open Gorup. And boy, did I get a surprise. And I shouldn't have been surprised, because I've seen it so many times before. Is the, yes, you've got Open Gorup. Yes, they've got defined resources between them. But in actual fact, what I saw was a huge system, copper and gold rich, sometimes mostly to the favor of copper, but sometimes to gold. And you know, at the open, there you are, you've got this crop and it's folding, you've never seen folding like it, turning over on itself. And at Gorup, much more simple and a uniform body. But what interested me was all of these, you know, results, about 155, 160 meters, was where the South African groups were drilling. And I stood there quite perplexed, because they were talking about lenses and I could see two remnants and occasional clear crops. I could see quite a steep dip, and I drew the view that this was it's a plunging system, because if it plunged regularly at 7 degrees, it'd be down at Perth by the time, you know, 17 kilometers. So why does it go to surface? It was easy to see but one could see that, first of all, they only drilled the crops. They talked about desert cover, and desert cover is about 2 meters of calcrete. And I sort of decided to beat every single trench. The trenches were not very deep, some of them quite superficial, and they'd been excavated with an excavator, but not very deep, and half sand filled, but we soon scraped the sand away. So that gave me a picture of both ends. And then there's a reference in the archive about the Dupree trench, and I went to visit that. And boy, this Dupree's trench was taller than me. I'm not very tall, but, you know, that was certainly no exploration trench, a couple of meters, 3 meters wide. And get out there quite perplexed. And then I saw in the distance there, not very much in the distance, several piles, and they was green as hell. So they were obviously copper rich. And it looked like a sorting place. And then I picked up two pieces of concrete, one more substantial than the other. And that was fairly evident that was a little crusher, and the guys had had a table. Much more rooting around again in the archives, and came up with an Australian ASX release that just 2 kilometers away, they've got as much as 22 grams of gold and 3% copper. So, you know, that is serious stuff anywhere in the world. And then I went back 2 kilometers away and figured out that must be the shaft which was built by a former mining company, big company. And you know what? It was the most expensive borehole I've ever seen. It went down 140 meters and it was 3.5 by 3.5. And that shaft killed the dream that the ore body would be going down to the middle of the earth forever, you know. And they were postulating 5 million tons of contained copper. And it's inclinal. So what I want you to do is imagine a boat. It's got sides, and you can call those the limbs. The mining limbs, and they'll be our mining limbs. And then at the bottom there, the bottom of the boat, instead of going into the slow curve, it probably flattens out. So, but still boat shaped. And I've taken the view that there are several of those over the 17 kilometers, generally copper rich with some gold, and some gold being 0.4 to a gram. But you have had this area between Dupree and the shaft. Definite evidence of very, very high gold situation. So it's not a small district. The fact that people have decided to call one Ope and one Gorup is the convenience of outcrop. And then why did they aim all the drills to hit the ore body at 150 to 170 meters? And of course, you know, I was daft not to realize it, but now I realize it. You know, I realized it while I was there. But essentially, they couldn't handle oxides, gentlemen. They could not handle oxides. And so, therefore, took the view arbitrarily that drilling 170 meters below the oxides would be take them into the ore body, sulfide ore body proper, avoid oxides and avoid transition zones. What a, you know, and so they just couldn't treat them, so they didn't look for them. So now what we're doing, of course, and we tell you in the release there, and in the drill we started already, is that we're over at Garob, but we're taking the machine to drill right at surface to see whether the ore body is continuous. And we'll be reporting later. We'll be reporting later on that. But that's the big test, because if it is continuous and we can do it over 5 kilometers, as the suggestion is at Gorup, that will immediately increase the tonnage there by at least a third. And, you know, the grade should be about the same. But that's not what I'm interested in, really. We've got this potential for a big mining copper district. We'll pursue that. But that's not mutually exclusive to our plans to develop the Gorup mine and the Ope mine. But what we will be able to do, gents, is assuming the theory is right, and let's hope it is, that we'll be able to have an open pit. So there we sit. If you look at the middle there where the gold was in the central area, where the shaft was, 114 deep, meters deep, 3.5 by 3.5. We can deepen that if we want. Down to about 300 meters, and to deepen the shaft, a damn sight cheaper than starting right from square one. And we can put a single drum hoist at 6 tons an hour, which is, you know, well, which is I did in my history at a place called Sleepy Pickwe. So I've done that before in a very pretty similar surroundings, really. And then exit the open pit. When we get to the bottom of the open pit, we can start a decline. So we've actually had paved material all the way to where we start the decline. That decline needn't be 7 by 7 because we're not bringing ore out of the mining trucks. We're bringing it up that little shaft. So that's for many materials and ventilation, of course. One of them will be, you know, one will be upcast, one will be downcast, so to speak. And so not only has it, as the exploration provided me, particularly with a massive insight to what we've got, it's given us a good old starter for our mine and saved us quite a lot of money, you know, if we utilize the shaft. And it looks quite a few kilometers either side. That's where the eye gold was, as well as copper, good copper. So I only left thinking, gee whiz, you know, this COVID-19, how it's inhibited people from really getting into the projects. But don't let's blame COVID-19, because I've got an history, really. You know, that Kalambila mine we sold. Nothing there, nothing there, nothing there. And look who had it for the 10 years before me. I better not mention them because it's rude. But a major mining company. And 19 months later, we'd got 1.5 billion tons as it was then at 0.79. So, you know, 1.5 billion tons, gents, is a lot of rock. And what I saw at Open Gorup was what I call keyhole mining, keyhole exploration. You know, you see the crop and you drill all around it. And that's like keyhole surgery. You know, you've got to take a look at the bigger picture. And I'm afraid they didn't. And in fairness to them, it's very easy to be clever after the event, always easy to be clever after the event. But, you know, if I was drilling these holes in 1975, I wouldn't be interested in transition zone and oxides either, because I wouldn't be able to handle them with the plant that I'd be putting in. So I shouldn't be too clever for my own good. But I think the fact that there's this, probably quite a few of these boats, as I call them, along the 17 kilometers, I'm excited as to a potential copper tonnage and gold resource much higher than has been thought and postulated in the past. Significantly higher.
It sounds extremely interesting. I mean, even if you look at the JORC report for the Hope thing, you've got 10 million tons at 1.9% copper. So you've basically got 192,000 tons of copper, which is already, and what, 3,200 of silver as well. There's some silver in there as well, and gold. So even the 200,000 tons of contained copper, I mean, what's that worth, the way copper works today?
Well, multiply 10 is $2 billion worth of rock there and there. I don't know. That's what my figures say to me.
Yeah, so how on earth is Besant worth what it's worth?
Oh, indeed. And a week ago, it had got two small mines, 7,000 to 10,000 ton a year. And 10,000 ton a year, by the way, is $100 million. So, that's what it had got. But now I think, it's early days. And we've got to be fair to one another. It is early days. But, I think we're looking at here, as apart from those two mines, a really big district, which we can turn into a huge resource, which is well beyond the Byzant capability and is designed for the big boys. And remember, not designed is more suitable for, it's not designed for anything. It's there and the big boys have got to define it. We'll just give them the outline and we'll give them the suggestion that it's well worth doing, but it's really going to be a big project in my view. The situation looks extremely rosy. And on that note, Namibia has been the place for big mines. There's been some big operations there. It's also the place for some small mines. But I have to say, we were made very welcome by the ministry and made it very clear that the welcome foreign company participation at all levels, exploration, mining, etc. And from that point of view, very hospitable, and it couldn't have been a nicer trip. And what a pleasant surprise. What a pleasant surprise when we realize that what you read about is not necessarily what you get. And especially in geology, when you're trying to second guess nature. So I'm very pleased in a nutshell.
Yeah. And it sounds like obviously it's not going to be hugely expensive to investigate all of this because a lot of the work has already been done, which is obviously extremely
well spoken. Well spoken there, that is, because we have the benefit of 68,000 meters of drilling. There's $15 million gone to get to a position where we find it. So really what we're doing now is just doing a bit of head scratching between surface outcrops. The trench has been extremely helpful. They haven't checked what I think is the northern limb. So I suspect only one side of the boat has been looked at. And, shaft, once again, with a bit of plotting, a bit of thinking, a bit of head scratching, and me falling out with my local mining guy and the consultants having their five bob. And is it in the footwall? Is it in the hanging wall? When it's normal to put a vertical shaft in the footwall, this thing was right bang in the center of the ore body, which in its own right was amazing. Not only did they sink a shaft at 140 meters, they put it somewhere where they shouldn't, right bang in the middle of the ore body. So it's really eye-opening. It's a very good starter for 10 for our shareholders and would-be shareholders. And we look forward to giving them a very, very interesting run on this property.
So do you think...
And in the company generally, of course.
Yeah. Do you think in this current market, Colin, that you could actually buy this asset for the full market cap of Besant, £8 million at the moment?
Well, in the copper market we're going, and the demand for copper... The demand for actual mines, it basically is, as always, we chief execs are always moaning about the actual share price versus the value, the asset value. But I mean, this one is a little bit, it is a massive disconnect. And hopefully shareholders and would-be shareholders see that, the value getting in is great. I mean, getting in now, I mean, Mankind, for example, that's we've got 27.5% of that just waiting for the PSA. That is extremely important too.
And you're gonna have Truly on Cyprus with CMRS as well, which is going to be a huge play. Hopefully by the end of this year, early next, you're going to be producing X number of tons of copper and some gold thrown in as well. And you're going to be benefiting from that, hopefully with Jubilee as well thrown in.
That we're sharing, Besant is sharing with the exploration cost, and then we get 80% of the mine, provided we provide the money to build it, which we will. And the drill machine's been throwing up some, from a visual point of view, and I think you're aware of that, the market's aware of that, some some good looking stuff. But what we're talking about here, and you know, this again, this model is, and Martin is particularly good at this and very pragmatic, stands off the situation, works it out for himself, you know, and it's a bit like me from the history point of view. He takes it with a pinch of salt and applies his own experience in history and his own experience and knowledge. And what have we done? I mean, you know, we've got an open pit, I think, if the results come back okay, and they're imminent. That can certainly be deepened and they can be extended along the way there. The geology is becoming to be very interesting. Of course, the more you drill, the more you get to know it. And it looks strong on that fault area where there's the oxide cap. That's very exciting. And then there's, you know, the dumps and the tailings dams sit there waiting to be worked. So it's not as though you've got to sink shafts. It's not as though as you've got to do anything but deepen an existing open pit. Now, you don't just start digging, of course. You've got to push back the walls of the old pit. I should have thought tumbling on top of you. You don't want that. But, you know, the startup is a civil engineering game, which won't be expensive. And in this day and age, it'll be one plant to suit the lot. So, again, very exciting. And here in Bazant, you know, we've got 80% of the benefits provided we, you know, provide the capital. And I don't think could have the Keras Bazant joint venture, I don't think could have a better start than this truly operation. It really is exciting. And again, you know, it's almost, when you're talking about open Gorup, you're almost talking truly in the same vein. You know, you already we're beginning to extend it to long strike. We're seeing those crops of that black submarine material, which dictates mineralization. Whether it's lensy potty, we don't know, but you know, there's a good chance of being plenty of it. So, and then we've got the repeat situation down the way there. So what an exciting start to Cyprus too. So, you know, from a Bazant perspective, we could have 80% of a mine in Cyprus and our own mine in Open Gorup. Tremendously big exploration project, a 20-odd% stake in a Philippines porphyry, which has got 1.4 million tons of copper in it and four and three quarter million ounces of gold. And as you say, all for 8 million market cap.
It seems a major disconnect, doesn't it?
It does. But that's the market and that's life, you know. I mean, let's face it, you know, that as a junior mining investor, junior resource company investor, you first of all, there's a lot of competition in the marketplace, caused by the, you know, the events of early last year when there was quite a lot of interest in mining. They've got to sort out the wheat from the chaff. And when all the talk's finished, the results count. And, you know, I think we're beginning throughout the things I'm doing to produce good, consistent forecasted results, which hopefully gives shareholders the investment that the team, myself and the team around me, are on a mission, been there, know what to look for. And, you know, it's all about intellectual thought, teamwork, not always consensus, you know, because that's, you know, that's too easy. But by the time the team is finished, we know what we're up against.
My play on a few of these things is, yes, the harder you work, the luckier you get in terms of what you find. But it's also very interesting from what I keep hearing again and again, that the technology has advanced, that it allows some of these mines that were investigated and then just forgotten about for various reasons. Go to Cyprus, it was because of a war. Go to Namibia because one type of rock, they basically couldn't get the copper out of it. They didn't know how to. So there are many reasons to revisit some of these things, which you've been doing on a regular basis. And now they become totally feasible and extremely likely to make, you know, huge amounts of money, especially with the price of copper. Gold is obviously firming up as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's extremely interesting. And, yeah, I think Bazant, but for me anyway, having visited Truly, Bazant is worth more than Truly, never mind anything else you've discussed. So you know, their option on Truly is more than making the £8 million because of the potential there. And that's then obviously right. You've now got this other one coming in, and you've still got Mancuna, is it? Or I'm rubbish at pronouncing it.
Mankayan
as well. So, you know, it's like, what does everybody want? It's three extremely good assets now that probably if we draw a picture in 18 months' time, there's going to be revenue coming from them all.
Yeah. And, listening to what you said, you know, I agree with you entirely. Technology gives us another shot at it, particularly when you're all body modeling. In the old days, you know, they used to draw a polygon, then another polygon. It was called, you know, and then you worked out the influence of various boreholes at the tips of the polygon. And then if there was too big a gap between them, they would say there's a fault and there's a disconnect, there's a lens. But in today's day and age, when you've got data mining, these that you really, every single hole, negative or positive, has got some bearing on the actual final 3D design. So you're right, from a technological view, we've gone forward. But you know what amazes me, gents, is that this massive amount of information, which has probably been generated over 50 or 60 years by several teams, and nobody bothers to interrogate that information and actually put it in today's context. And that's what I've done at Open Gorra. That's what I did at Kalambila. That's what I've done in Bushranger in Australia. And that's the story of my life, really. Because if you inherit a fortune's worth of raw data, why not interrogate that before you go blinding off doing your own little thing? And boy, has it worked for the companies we're involved in now? Because, you know, often it's a legal requirement to keep this information. So it's available. And if it's not available, a search might make it a bit available, and a deep search, you'll come across guys, yes, I, you know, who work there, call them in and sit and have a couple of hours with them. And all of a sudden, things what didn't make sense start making sense. You know, if the detective world, the police world behaved like the mining world, nobody would ever go to jail. Because, you know, that's their start point, trying to build up an history. We're just trying to create new history, you know, a new thing in our game. And so, well, I don't know. I was going to say so sad, but it's our benefit. And we should enjoy it, because we started in 2017 looking for big copper situations. Now, here we are now in 2022, and we've got some enviable ones, some really enviable ones, Kevin.
I think it's safe to say that all of your companies are looking great value at the moment. There's real value there. And also, as you say, a call option to copper, most of them.
That's about right. That's right. And then you've always got the wild card of the gold, and which is not a bad metal to have in association, because over the lifespan of a mine, even an exploration project for that matter, there's enough geopolitical activity, negative activity, always to give a bit of a spike. And obviously that spike flows through and to the total revenues. So never two bad metals to have together, gold and copper. But as you say, I regard our company as a call option to copper.
Yeah, and Bassan, when I look at it now, it's good to say that the technology is allowing it to do this. And that's to its benefit, but that in no way has translated itself to the share price, because this is crazy in my view. You know, based on even what the share price was a year ago, and you've made great advances, you know, it doesn't make any sense. You know, you were at 30 odd P, 0.3 something. In February, March last year.
Really? I can't recall that figure myself. Where are we now? We're struggling. You know, we're struggling to get volume and
0.16.
Yeah, I know. And
you were 100% higher, and you had no...
If I remember rightly, you know, Bezant hit 0.5 from when I remember the highs, half a P.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? And, you know, I think, you know, as strange as it is, that I'm not that much of a stopwatcher. I'm just getting on with it. But you can't help. And I tend to look at market cap because, you know, when you're issuing your shares, you're building up that, but you're not achieving very much for everybody. So I kind of get that relationship between share price, market cap, and number of shares out and all of that. But whichever way I turn this company, it is a massive disconnect. Then let's go back to the magic figure, 8 million. Well, you know, if you've got 8 million in your pocket, you could buy, you know, gee whiz, the thoughts of buying all this lot, you know. And but it's, I think you've known me long enough now to know that I never, you know, it's for us to demonstrate to the market that we're worth more, not for the market to demonstrate to us without a solid base that we're worth more. So the onus is on me and my management team to, in actual fact, prove that what we've got and what we're forecasting, our missions and our wishes and our dreams sometimes are, in actual fact, aimed towards the benefits of shareholders, and that put the lot together, and you could be looking for a very, very interesting, involvement, investment in our company. And I just look forward to more joining this, and it's a good time to be doing that. It's early in the year. It's a time when most of us are sorting ourselves out. We're not without geopolitical threats, but at the same time, that desire for copper, that need for copper, that forward forecast for copper, coupled with troubles in the world of the current producers, we have to be in a good position with the likes of Keras and Bizant.
And you only have to look at the RNS today. I mean, those JORC reports, we're not talking about anything that is just an estimated resource. This is a JORC 12 report saying you have this much copper. This much copper, and you believe there's a lot more, obviously, but this amount of copper alone is extremely significant. Again, we can only put the information out there, and we'll see what people do.
Yeah, I'm always available, and I think this is a very good platform for me to sort of talk to the shareholders, and I thank you very much for providing the platform. It's necessary. It's done informally and sometimes formally. I think it presents a very good media and a platform for our shareholders, and I say would-be shareholders, to try and understand. You know, you see these RNSs, you know, do they mean a lot if mining's not your business? It's difficult to sort of tramp your way through what the company's trying to say. So thank you for providing the platform to allow me to say it.
Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Bezant Resources, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Phil. Thank you. Thanks, Kevin.
God bless them.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.